Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God, forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
From the second letter to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, we will also deny us. He will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The other day, I was listening to a news story about the government shutdown, and I noticed the reporter saying that it could be some time before federal employees would be made whole. What an evocative phrase. In this context, of course, being made whole means receiving payment after a furlough, getting back pay for missed work days once the government starts issuing checks again. But it got me wondering, what would it look like to be made whole in my own life? Where are the broken places that may or may not ever be repaired in this lifetime? How am I part of larger systems that also need to be made whole, including the church? We live in an era that worships the quick fix. I often see ads that claim that you can forget about all that diet and exercise stuff. All you have to do is take this one supplement once a day and you will have the beach body you want in no time. Worse, the accelerating pace of our society means that even quick fixes are too slow for many of us. Obsolescence is baked into much of what we buy. And the reality is that most of the time, it is a lot easier to get rid of something that's broken and buy a new one rather than find a way to fix it quickly or otherwise. To be made whole is the opposite of a quick fix. It's a holistic process, a change that doesn't happen all at once, but through time and relationship. There's an equivalent Christian vocabulary word that has gone out of favor, which is salvation, or to be saved. For many of us, the notion of being saved has become associated with false prophets, with charlatans, with people who want to placate the poor and marginalized with promises of pie in the sky by and by. But salvation is the central theme of Scripture, first through God's saving work with Israel, leading them out of slavery and out of the desert and into a place of life and abundance. And then in the ways that Jesus saves, by offering good news to the poor, healing to the sick, food to the hungry, and forgiveness to sinners. Wholeness, or salvation, is what God desires for us, for all of us, for everyone and everything that God created. Sometimes we resist this because we think that our circumstances are too much. We think we'll never be whole until something exterior changes in our lives. We think we can never be truly whole because of what our parents did to us, or because of that guy who's the president, or because our body seems to be giving out. Or we fall for the opposite fallacy, which is believing that our whole life is in our control, and that with the right frame of mind and proper breathwork or meditation practice, we won't need saving, because we will have saved ourselves. Today's gospel suggests that neither end of the pendulum gets it exactly right when it comes to wholeness and salvation. Our circumstances do not define us in an ultimate way, but nor are we limitless demigods who will reach our full potential if we just put our minds to it. We are limited, finite, often a bit of a mess. We need God and one another, community, and the whole earth. We need to be made whole, something we cannot do for ourselves or on our own. In fact, recognizing our dependence and interdependence may be the first critical step on that journey of wholeness and holiness. In today's gospel, there are 10 men who are afflicted with leprosy, which was probably not Hansen's disease, but still, it's a skin affliction that was so contagious that they needed to be separated, kept apart from their families and communities. And even as they just set out to follow the instructions Jesus gives them, they're all cured. All 10 of them are cured, liberated from the shackles of their disease. But how many of them are made whole? Arguably only one, and a Samaritan at that. In a curious reversal from how healing normally works, it is after the Samaritan has been cured, after he has come back to Jesus, thanking him and praising God, that Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Now, I would imagine that all 10 of them had some kind of faith, even if it was the faith of the desperate who will try anything to get better. What sets apart the faith of the Samaritan is that he recognized what a great gift he had been given, and that the gift was even more than having his skin cleared of disease. And let's be very clear about something ourselves. This story is not about good manners. Jesus wasn't mad that he didn't get a thank you card. That's not why he asks about the other 9. They aren't in trouble. They won't have their cure taken away from them. Jesus has not set up a reward punishment system based on good behavior. If anything, I can almost hear Jesus speaking of the other nine with affection and regret. Darn, what a missed opportunity for them. Well, their loss. What they have lost is something even more precious than physical health. They have lost an opportunity for connection. All 10 asked for something and received it, but only one got something more, a moment of intimate connection with another human being, and through that human being, with God. That is the path to wholeness. The text doesn't tell us why the other nine don't turn back to give their thanks and praise. The only clue we have as to what sets apart the one from the rest is that he's a Samaritan, an outsider, someone who would have been used to being overlooked or excluded in the Jewish society of the time. There's a lesson in there. Those who have the experience of being marginalized are often the most generous, most gracious, most likely to give back, even if all they have to give is a sincere word of thanks. It's also a caution to those of us who are used to being the givers, the helpers, the people with agency. It's those who know how to receive, how to acknowledge their interdependence and indebtedness, who are more likely to be made whole than those of us who still think we can do it ourselves. Back to those other nine, I'm extrapolating a good deal here, but it strikes me that one thing that sometimes stops people from expressing the thanks that they feel is that it requires a certain amount of vulnerability. Gratitude creates an opening for a relationship to be created or to deepen, if it's expressed. The person receiving thanks also has to be open to being vulnerable, to accepting the gratitude of another, whether they feel worthy of it or not. Again, there's this sense that receptivity and a willingness to risk is key. The theologian Norman Wurzbach talks about wholeness and salvation in terms of health, which is a language more familiar to many of us. He writes, to be healthy is to be able to move freely, sympathetically, and shamelessly among others. We experience the conviviality that is possible in a shared life. Put another way, when we're healthy, the relationships that join us to communities and neighborhoods are life-giving and strong. We receive blessings with gratitude and generously offer to help others. You can hear that sense of mutuality and reciprocity back and forth. Our stewardship theme this year is about that kind of health and wholeness. It is asking us to do all we can to strengthen St. Martin's as a place to be welcome, be known, and be loved. I know this could sound like a kind of a feel-good campaign, creating an image of the church as a refuge from the big bad world out there. But creating a space where all can gather and be welcomed, known, and loved is a profoundly important act of resistance in this cultural moment in which we find ourselves. We are being pitted against each other into ever smaller, more distinct, and more malignant opposing forces. No longer do we just talk about Democrat against Republican. Now we're talking about moderate Democrats against progressive Democrats and traditional Republicans against MAGA Republicans. And that sort of dynamic is replicated in nearly every sphere of our lives. The algorithm or whatever other forces there are that seek to pit people against each other, to pull us apart, make it harder and harder to move freely, sympathetically and shamelessly among others, or to experience what Wurzbach calls the conviviality that is a shared life. And yet that is what it means to be a whole human being made in the image of God. When we hold fast to the truth that God is the one who welcomes all, knows all, and loves all, we hold fast to the ideal of patterning our lives after Jesus. And in that, it will become apparent that a big part of being made whole is that we ourselves practicing, welcoming, and knowing, and loving each other. Sometimes this starts as an inside job, and again, I have to ask myself, am I willing to let myself, my whole self, be welcomed here, be known here, be loved here? Am I willing to be made whole? When we say yes, when we center our lives on that act of receptivity, of praise and thanksgiving, of centering relationship, it will gradually but inevitably spill out into the world, helping us offer a vision of wholeness and a genuine welcome to everyone we encounter on the way. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for St. Martin's clergy, staff, and ministry leaders. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for the passage of local, state, and federal laws that will strengthen and protect our communities, treating everyone as children of God. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as our own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray for reconciliation with the earth and all God's creatures, and we commit to working for peace with creation. Lord, in your mercy, bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We are grateful today for the team that makes coffee on Sundays and for all those providing hospitality during the stewardship season. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy. We commend in your mercy, to your mercy, all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you. Good morning. I'm going to invite up Jim Jordan. Don't sit down. We have some announcements for you. And it's always wonderful to have a vestry member come and share at this time. Jim.
Well, this is a busy time at St. Martin's, as you can see from the yellow sheet. And you know, this yellow sheet, and the six pages of announcements that you can find on our website. We would like to draw your attention to one of those announcements, which is an article about the Diocesan Migrant Support Network and the resources that they have in making all welcome and protecting the safety to the best we can of those people. There will be coffee hour after this service, followed by an adult forum entitled Climate Reality, Change the Story, Change the World, presented by Garth Lindley, who is a graduate of Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. Highlights of the many happenings this week and the rest of the month include, first, tomorrow, our Zoom links will change. The links by which you can access our services online won't change on our, or will be correct on our website and in our e-news, but if you've stored those Zoom links on your computer, you're going to have to change them. Our stewardship season continues next Sunday with the great St. Martin's Breakfast Bake Off. You can show off your cooking skills, provide tummy pleasers for coffee hour, and maybe win a prize for the best entry in a number of categories. A sign-up sheet is available in the narthex. Sunday, October 26, will feature the Belfry's chaplain, the Reverend Dr. Portia Hopkins, as our guest preacher. That Sunday will be our celebration of Dia de los Muertos with an ofrenda for pictures of mementos, pictures or mementos of loved ones, for mariachi music, and for a fiesta catered by Dos Coyotes. A stewardship note. Please turn in your pledge card for 2026 on or before October 26. The vestry thanks you very much, since that will make our job easier. Next Sunday, from 4 to 6, will be the first meeting of the new Sacred Ground Circle, a structured discussion series on race developed and widely used by the Episcopal Church. If you are interested, talk with Carol Holm or the Reverend Pamela. Lastly, our many ministries happen because of you, volunteers who make them happen. Again, read the announcements to learn of volunteer opportunities. And note that we have one in particular we'd like to mention, and that is the need for a friendly volunteer to greet people as an usher on third Sundays of the month. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Just a couple of quick notes. We are changing our Zoom links, not because we want to return to that chaotic time of 2020, but because we can actually be saving the church a lot of money by making ourselves a nonprofit Zoom account, and Gabe has been working very hard on that. So I just wanted to clarify that, and also make sure that there's another reminder that after church today, coffee hour starts out in the parish hall, and then I hope that many of us will gather for the presentation on climate reality. I think it's going to be a really good one. I know we have celebrations and milestones today.
So the same one we had today.
So there was birthday. Deanna Glick had a birthday. Yay. Oh, before I get into a couple more celebrations and milestones, behind you, there is an usher holding up bags. Those are our goodie bags or our welcome bags. They have no strings attached, but you have to raise your hand to get one so we know who needs a welcome bag. They have just some information about the church, and they have chocolate, and I know there are some people who should have their hand raised for those bags so an usher can come to you. Let's see, so we had that, and then our choir has an announcement.
We have four section leaders with us today. We have Zoe Shuck, we have Samuel Peters, Gavin Pinnell, and Daniel Ostrom, who you met a couple of weeks ago. We're happy to have them with us.
Welcome. Great. Oh, that's a wonderful birthday celebration. Tim?
Three grandkids all.
Three grandkids' birthdays. That sounds like a lot of parties. Lola. Oh, Molly has a birthday. Yay, happy birthday. Yes, Harriet. Your birthday's coming up this week. Excellent. Yes? Oh, welcome and happy birthday to you. That's wonderful. Love visitors. Is that a hand up in the back? Oh, Daddy Francis is having a birthday today. Excellent, excellent. One more. Oh, wow, Nick, we've got lots of good birthdays, celebrations, and milestones. Okay, so we have a prayer on page 5 of your bulletin that we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our communion is open to all. We gather around the altar rails, starting from the back. When you come forward down the center aisle, just wait for an usher to let you know that it's time to go to the openings at the aisle or at the rail. You can kneel, you can stand, you can receive the bread and the wine separately as they are offered to you. Or if you want the bread to be intincted, dipped into the wine, just hold on to it, and when the chalice bearer comes to you, they will know that you want them to intinct that and give it back to you. All of our bread is gluten-free and vegan to make it as accessible to as many people as possible, and we welcome all to communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
The eyes of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give all thanks and praise.
All thanks and praise are yours at all times and in all places, our true and loving God. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, the wisdom from on high by whom you created all things. You laid the foundations of the world and enclosed the sea when it burst out from the womb. You brought forth all creatures of the earth and gave breath to humankind. Wondrous are you, Holy One of blessing. All you create is a sign of hope for our journey. And so as the morning stars sing your praises, we join the heavenly beings and all creation as we shout with joy. And honor are yours, Creator of all. Your word has never been silent. You called a people to yourself as a light to the nations. You delivered them from bondage and led them to a land of promise. Of your grace, you gave Jesus to be human, to share our life, to proclaim the coming of your holy reign, and give himself for us, a fragrant offering. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, you have freed us from sin, brought us into your life, reconciled us to you, and restored us to the glory you intend for us. We thank you that on the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so, remembering all that was done for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection and ascension, longing for Christ's coming in glory, and presenting to you these gifts your earth has formed and human hands have made, we acclaim you, O Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Christ Jesus, come in glory. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Christ. Grant that we, burning with your Spirit's power, may be a people of hope, justice, and love. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ, and in the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Martin and all your people into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we worship you, our God and Creator, in voices of unending praise. Blessed are you, now and forever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able for our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be Christ's hands and heart in the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.
In peace to love and serve the Lord.